This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 408 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. Is that what it's called?
Oh,
it's one of those nights. That there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au.
Whether you like it or not.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I'm here with you. Like it. How am I? I'm about 6 foot two. It's how I am.
Fantastic. Excellent. How's the last 7 days been?
14 days too long.
School holidays?
Oh, the school. Here's the thing, though. You'd think, wouldn't you? Yeah.
I try
Saturday
not to.
Saturday was my daughter's birthday party.
Right.
Which was a really good one, my eldest one, Emily, and a lovely birthday party. Monday was her actual birthday. So they had 2 weeks of school holidays.
Yeah.
First day back at school on Monday, the teachers call a
pupil-free day.
Yeah, pupil-free day. First day back at school.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
Just the first day out. So of course, I've got all the kids. So I kind of somewhat sillily said, well, to all these other parents, look, you know, your kid's going to have to be on school holidays too.
Yeah.
Why don't they all hang out and have a birthday with Emily? So I went from having two to having seven for the day.
Nice.
And,
work.
Of course, the place I was going to take them all to,
yeah,
which would burn up energy for hours upon hours,
was shut.
Wasn't open because it was not school holidays anymore. Which was
ripped off.
So that was a fairly tiring. So anyway, finally, Monday night comes. Woohoo, finally got rid of them. Tomorrow they're all gone. I can actually get some work done. The youngest one, I don't feel very well. So she's been home Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday so far.
Right.
So I'm 3 weeks into kids so far. It's just, never ends. Never, ever ends.
No, it does not.
So it had, this 7 days has felt like 14.
Right.
Possibly 16. Other than that, okay. And how's yours been? Have you been up to anything exciting?
No, not really. No, just
excellent.
Just plugging away.
And I asked.
Yes. I am meant to be doing some training with this photographer on the Central Coast this Saturday.
Oh, yes. How are you going to train her?
Yes. How not to shoot soccer teams, I think.
Yeah, how to.
So,
and not have every photo look the same.
Yeah,
no.
So apparently I'm meant to be hanging out with her on Saturday and just sort of getting my head around the way she likes things to be shot. And then she wants me shooting both days the following weekend, the 28th, 29th. So, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, to start. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully it will lead to more. Yeah.
Then say it's a lot of money. It says it's a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly.
The two are fairly mutually exclusive most of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, the more you seem to work, the less you get paid for it, and the less you have to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like doctors, you know, they walk in at 3 minutes, $180. Thank you very much.
Speaking of which, how's your secret squirrel project coming along?
Still going.
Still
going. Not the photo side.
So what you're saying is there's a lot of work, not a lot of pay.
let's call it the Fortnite of fonts.
Right. Why fonts?
Well, exactly. This is stuff.
Why should that concern you?
Not only do they hire a people photographer who likes moody photos to do shoots of non-people, non-moody. Yeah. But they also wanted me to hire a video guy to follow me around. And then we've been get and edit the video. And then the video, okay, can you use this font? We want to use this font.
Right.
So I go back to the video guy, can you use this font? I haven't got that font. Can you ask them for the font? I'll ask them for the font. Ask them for the font. Can you send us the font? They send back, use this one instead. So I go to Lee and say, use this one instead. I haven't got that one. Can you ask them to send the font? Ask them to send the font. Can you send the font? How about this one instead? How about this one instead? I haven't got that one. Can you send us the font? What about this one? No? Yes? Can you send us the font? How about this one? It's embedded in Mac. Okay. Lee, do you have this one? Yes, it's embedded in Mac. Right.
You should just email back, we will use whatever font you send us.
Times New Roman, it's done, Ariel. It's been a lot of back and forward with that, you know.
How about Comic Sans? We can do it in Comic Sans.
You do it yourself. We provide you the raw product. You edit the damn thing and put the whatever fades or whatever, whatever company kind of look that you want.
Yeah.
But whatever consistency, you don't get an outside agency who doesn't know what your work looks like and what you want it to look like to do it without explaining everything or providing all the tools to do the job.
The thing is, at this level, you know, knowing who your client is, yeah, you would think these guys would have a brand outline, you know, a document that says this is the way we position our brand. You know, these are the fonts
here,
we use.
And here is
these
access are the colors to the site we use. Where all those assets are.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, here is the logos in this file format, this color, that color.
Yeah.
DNG, whatever it may be. Here's the fonts, the only acceptable fonts we must use.
Yeah, exactly.
These here they are in this thing.
Yeah.
No.
Like at that level, you would expect that would be a given.
I wish I'd charged more.
Like I said, lots of work, not much money.
Exactly. It's like, oh, God. And the worst thing is, at the end of the day, I'm not even happy with the results.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's like I'm just so disappointed with what's getting out there with my name on it. It's like, you know,
yeah,
with circumstances mostly beyond my control and
yeah, like the weather and whatnot. Yeah,
yeah, the budget constraints and the weather.
Yeah,
and the sheer lack of anything interesting to take photos.
Well.
God. So yeah, it's the weak points. I did have a bit of good news. Oh, one other thing before I go on to the bit of good news. The prizes for episode 400.
Right. We'll be out before episode 500?
Finally. I think possibly the only one that's actually left the shores is the Narbox. But all the suppliers have all the details and all the addresses and all the details to ship them out.
So, fantastic.
Yeah. Hopefully that won't be too much longer for those who have been questioning. It's completely out of our little rotten picking little hands.
Excellent.
Now.
Good to hear.
Did last week, did I talk about my mate's band, Ruby Tuesday?
You did.
I did. Well, I've got news.
Yeah?
Ruby Tuesday have dropped the lawsuit.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Pretty quickly, though. It's a pretty fast turnaround, I don't think.
Insert Goma pile here. Yeah. Why did they drop it?
Well,
because they realised they didn't have a leg to stand on, I'll bet.
That's possible. Yeah. I think, well, it started, so I mean, it was on so many TV shows here, many news, and started to make newspapers all around the world. It was even a question in a TV game show this week.
Nice.
Yeah, so then it's Australian band is being sued. But it was starting to get some traction. That did not look good for them in any way, shape, or form.
Excellent.
And I figure maybe whichever clerk decided to set this one up. And as I said, this is how stupid it is. I knew my mate's band, they released a new EP, a new single this week, I should say.
Right.
So I've gone to and type.
It was probably number one on the iTunes chart.
I've typed up the Ruby Tuesdays. Yeah. And up comes this and a whole EP out. This is an EP. I knew it was a new single. That's their third single. Didn't realize I'd downloaded the EP.
Yeah.
Then looked at it properly. Different freaking band.
Oh, what?
That's the Ruby Tuesdays. They're just Ruby Tuesdays.
Oh, what? You're kidding.
Even on iTunes, there's already a Ruby Tuesdays that aren't being sued. So why there wasn't a blanket? Oh, here's one band using it. I wonder if there's anybody else out there using it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of ironic. Even I made the mistake of downloading the thing. So when they put their big post up on their Facebook page saying, "Yoo-hoo, the lawsuit's been dropped," etc., all these people doing these great comments, I've just gone, "Can I have a hamburger, hold the onions, please?"
Nice.
I thought they were the restaurant for a while.
Yeah.
That was A bit of good news.
That is great to hear. That is great to hear.
Yeah, my mate. And so if you are in the New South Wales-ish area, check them out. The Ruby Tuesdays, they're pretty funky. If you're not, iTunes, Ruby Tuesdays, not the Ruby Tuesdays.
Right.
They've got three singles, and they're all pretty darn funky. So if you like a bit of funky music, have a listen. Nice. Support a local artist. They said they've sold out their entire T-shirt merchandise range.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. Apparently they only had 10 shirts, which is takes some of the gloss off the volume of sales.
Yeah,
but I think that so you can still buy their T-shirts on RubyTuesdaysMusic.com. There you go.
Fantastic.
So yeah, that's cool. Non-photographic, and absolutely nothing photographic this week.
Oh,
I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think I've done, because school holiday. I didn't even get to photograph my last day of 10 portrait for my daughter, who returned from 10 to 11.
Oh, okay.
Normally every year, and I still haven't even photographed an hour days after she turned 11. So
right,
that's how little photographics I've done this week. So
wow,
it's pretty darn poor. I might have taken some iPhone snaps.
Yeah.
But and then probably not likely. Right. Yeah, it's pretty darn sad. I think I might just give up photography, I'm thinking, you know.
Okay.
Oh, no, I've got some photos of a sick kid here. There, yeah. Just into the wife, look how sick this kid looks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And photograph videos of my daughter with all her friends over on singing to the sing-along version of The Greatest Showman. There you are. So I've had a big week of photography, you know.
Do I know that song?
The movie, The Greatest Showman.
You don't know the Greatest
Showman? No. With Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
It's not the biggest movie of the last couple of years, sort of thing.
Okay. If you say so.
That's it. So, and not only have I had so little to do photographically this week, the industry has had so little going on this week.
Oh, really?
In that we've got bugger all to talk about because there's not much going on.
Well, there are rumours.
Are there?
Yes.
What rumour?
There is a
rumour. Oh, not this Canon Nikon.
Yeah, the Nikon mirrorless. Allegedly, there will be an announcement on Monday, the day after this podcast comes out, that Nikon are going to release a full-frame mirrorless camera body. And you know what? Call me a little bit sceptical.
A little bit sceptical?
That's me.
Yes.
I was looking at the specs, and I couldn't help but thinking, this sounds just like a Sony camera that might have been released 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
400 autofocus points.
How many Sony got now? 410?
I'm not sure. I think the A99 Mark II was 399, but I think some of their E-mount stuff might have surpassed that. I don't know.
Yeah.
5-axis in-body image stabilization.
Something in my head's going 1100 for some reason.
Right. Okay. You know, 9 frames per second continuous shooting, new mirrorless mount. 3.6 megapixel electronic viewfinder, 4K video capture. Like, all of this stuff, I think, you know, Sony was doing 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, well, they're scratching up.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, being Nikon, they're probably using Sony sensors in it anyway, so it's just a Sony with a new badge on it, really.
So if it had been something like the 850, the Nikon 850, which, you know, garners great reviews everywhere for its stuff that it does.
Yep.
Well, obviously, well informed as usual. In a mirrorless body, maybe it'll get some traction. So, I mean, I guess it'll come down to not specs but performance. Maybe,
yeah.
So, if its dynamic range is as good as what the 850 is, if it's low noise is as good as what the
8,
well, you just don't know. Maybe the form factor changes things. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's still a 35mm sensor, so...
Yeah, I know, but the form factor may have some... Yeah, or the way it has to focus, or the tech they've got to put on to change the way not having a... I don't know. I don't know enough about photography to know these things.
Of course.
Yeah, if it was if it's an 850 or even slightly better, well, you can imagine it's going to have some traction.
Yeah.
The disconcerting thing, I think, from everyone is yet another mount system.
Yeah,
so
totally.
That's not going to go down well, you know? So it'd be interesting when Canon release theirs.
Well, didn't I see something this week? I don't actually have anything in the list of stuff we're going to cover, but I thought I saw something about Canon coming up with a mirrorless as well.
Oh, yeah, they've been going on. It's due to be out there.
Right.
But it's a matter of what mount system will it have.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Because, I mean, Nikon have pilloried Canon for forever. About changing the lens mount system within the days of autofocus from the FD to the EOS. They've been merciless for years.
Yeah.
And it'll be ironic in a way if Canon come out with a mirrorless.
Yeah, with a new mount.
Using an existing lens. Using existing mount. And Nikon have to change the lens mount system.
Yeah.
So it's got to go the other way. Ha ha, we've managed to do all this, blah, blah, blah. And
well, I kind of feel like there's a little bit of that in the sense that Canon and Nikon and their user base were pretty loud in, you know, giving Sony a hard time when they brought out the first mirrorless cameras going, ha, 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 that will never take off. And now you've got both of them playing catch up to Sony in a way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or catch up to what consumers are looking for. I mean, you could also say they're catching up to Fuji, they're catching up to,
yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That sort of thing. Apparently, Canon has applied for a new patent for a new camera lens mount that's similar to its EF and EFM mounts.
Okay.
This is from January, early this year.
Right.
So maybe they've got to have a new mount.
So what cameras or lenses currently use those mounts and how are they different to EOS?
Well, EF is all their lenses.
Right.
And EFM is the ones for their M-mount camera, their little effectively mirrorless, little small
right
interchangeable lens camera.
Okay.
Like the Nikon ones that have just been discontinued.
Right.
Yeah, so it's got a slightly bigger, so the EFM mounts a 58mm hole.
Right, flange, hole, yep.
Mount, yeah, flange versus 65mm.
Right.
And the EFM mount has 9 contacts, the EF has only 8.
Right.
The new one's got 7, which is even less, it's gone backwards.
Right, yeah.
So it looks like maybe they'll both have to come out with the new lens mounts.
Interesting. Oh. Not really, says Glenn.
Yeah. Just take some photos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The next thing that I came up with just as I was waiting to start recording this evening was a story on DIYphotography.net, and it was just some more video links of the crazy zoom factor of the Nikon P1000, which we spoke about last week. And one of them, the first video that's linked in the story, these guys are on a rooftop in some Asian city and zooming in on 3, you know, residential towers that must be at least 2 kilometers away from where they are shooting. And the range of zoom is just mind-boggling. They zoom in on, you know, construction workers working on the tops of buildings that are kilometers away. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Of course, you can see all that.
Have they got photos?
No, this is just video.
Again,
yeah.
Notice the common link here.
Yeah, right.
No one's showing photos, or I've seen photos
at that zoom factor. Yeah. So anyway, I'll put that in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out the video footage. Carl sent us an email. Actually, I think this was a Facebook message that he sent to you and I, and he said, "Hi, Glenn and Bruce. Re the last podcast and travel apps. I use Photo Pills because it was better than Photo EMPH, which I'm assuming was shorthand for Photographer's Ephemeris, but it seems Photographer's Ephemeris is better. The Photographer's Ephemeris is a very popular app that allows you to plan landscape photography shots by showing you the position of the sun and moon. The original app allowed you to see the direction of the sun or moon at any point in the day from a given location, more or less the same functionality as Photo Pills. The brand new 3D version is a game changer, and it will let you see how the light itself falls onto the topographical landscape. The Photographer's Ephemeris 3D allows users to watch a sunrise or sunset from the future. You can view land anywhere in the world in 3D and watch the light fall onto it as it will in real life. The new app also offers the ability to watch the stars in 3D movement. Now, the only caveat I would add to all of that is it can't predict where the clouds will be.
That's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, just a smidge. But, you know, gotta love being alive in a time like this when you can have software that'll, you know, do all that stuff for you. But yes, obviously, you know, things like, you know, inclement weather, that's stuff that software will never account for. So you obviously got to take it all with a grain of salt.
But you should be able to get them so you can link them up to like your Bureau of Meteorology type website.
Yeah.
That has both weather forecasting, you know, they're up to 5 days forecasting. So you should be able to look at that and then say, okay, within the next 5 days, it's got a 40% chance of rain or whatever it may be. Yeah, and you can type in the time of day you want to be there, and you see what percentage of chance for rain. They'll give you an indication if it's going to be clouds or no clouds.
Exactly.
And it should also, if it's the day you're going, it should be able to look at the long-range weather radar and look at where the rains, or if there's rain or wind or whatever it may be, and give it. And once again, wind, it could check the wind, it could check the rain, it should check tides.
Yeah.
it should tell you, show you what the tides are going to be like, you know?
Yeah.
In a given location. So if you want to go down and photograph down near the water and you want to know, you know, what's going to be exposed or covered, you can see the future, can't you? It's all there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool.
And that and as you say, you know, weather forecasting will only get better with time, and once they link that in with these pieces of software, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, if they can all be conjoined.
Well, I don't see why it shouldn't be. I mean, I don't understand the technology. Oh,
and
then, but
then link into these Aurora forecasts.
Yeah.
As well. All this sort of stuff.
Adam sent us a couple of stories. The first one was Jeff Bridges, honoured for his photography. So most people would be familiar with the name Jeff Bridges. He's an actor, one of the Bridges brothers. Since 1984...
What's the other one's called?
You had to throw me, didn't you? I can't think of his brother's name. It's another J sound.
Is it?
I think. I might be wrong, but anyway. but since 1984, Jeff Bridges has been taking his camera on set, because he spends most of his life on movie sets. And so since 1984, he's been taking this camera onto the sets where he's, you know, filming, and has taken photographs of the cast and the crew and all the behind the scenes stuff that, you know, most people would never, ever, ever get access to. And the very first film that he did it on, one of his mates, you know, convinced him at the end of the film that he should take all those photos and create a photo book. And so that is now what he does. He creates these photo books after every movie, and he gives them out to the cast and crew.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, very cool.
You see these iconic scenes.
Oh, they're phenomenal.
And then the pictures behind it's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know?
So apparently it was the 29th annual Infinity Awards. I can't say I'm familiar with them, but he was honoured for his photography at those awards this year. So that's pretty cool. So that link will be in the show notes. Yep.
I know his dad's Lloyd.
Lloyd Bridges.
Lloyd Bridges.
I'm sure he's... Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Maybe it's not a brother. Maybe it was just his dad that I was thinking of. But anyway.
If they lived in Madison County, they'd be the Bridges of Madison County.
Yes, they would.
Or is that?
The other thing that Adam sent us, I still haven't made up my mind as to whether this is a prank story or... if it's legit. This was on petapixel.com, and the headline is Nikon working on finger sensors that can read your emotions. And one of the paragraphs I lifted from the story was, using the detect biometric data, the camera then uses algorithms to interpret what the photographer's emotions are. It can label photos with things like normal, joy, love, shame, impatience, pain, surprised, confused, indifferent,
Orny,
sadness, anger, and despair. All of this supposedly based on, you know, blood flow through the tips of your fingers. Mm. And, yeah, I had to check the date to make sure it wasn't April 1 of this year. I don't know whether this is for real or not.
And even if it was, I can't imagine how it possibly could be. What's the point?
Exactly.
Now, I can understand if you're feeling a bit dark and moody, the camera underexposes the photos a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit light and bubbly, or a bit overexposed.
Increase the saturation.
Increases your mood, you know, and produces images accordingly. Yeah. Now, that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want them tagged. Or you're feeling cranky, it makes everyone in the photograph who's smiling, you know, it kind of pinch and twirls their face like a Photoshop action. So they're all just, I don't want to see happy people when I'm not happy. Angry me talking, you know.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I just had taking that to a whole nother level again. I just had a vision of us becoming so politically correct and so worried about offending anybody that soon, whenever you take photographs in street photography, you've got to turn on street photographer mode on your camera, and it blurs out everyone's faces except those that you walk up to, and they tap on that face and they sign the screen,
right?
And then it de-blurs that face. And if you can't get the person in that face, it's going to be blurry photo.
I can imagine a day when that actually happens, you know.
I'm saying this not overly facetiously,
yeah.
But you're saying you go on Google Earth and you see these people in the photo, the faces pixelated.
Yep.
I'm in Google Earth, by the way. I'm on Google Earth.
Are you
in
really?
A park in Pennsylvania at a railway station. And there's my red, bright red CPW shirt and a blurred out face of but I know it's me.
Excellent.
But yeah, so you can see that'd be automatically.
Yep.
It'll detect, because you use face detect autofocus and face detect blur.
Yep.
And it'll just automatically everybody's face in the photograph.
Yep.
Definitely. And you won't have a choice. It's like automatic. And somebody out in the public trying to take photos for legal reasons, it'll blur everyone's face automatically.
Yep.
Oh, I'm giving up photography when that happens, if not sooner. I can genuinely see that happening.
Yep, definitely. I like the images in your first story.
Oh, yes.
The surreal photos all created without Photoshop.
Yeah, so I thought it's just some clever ideas, just a bit of good thinking.
Yeah.
And some good imagination.
Definitely.
I especially like the white pole, black pole.
Yes.
There's a place here in Melbourne, I can't remember what it's called, where there's a whole bunch of images painted onto floors and walls and stuff that if you stand in exactly the right spot, its perspective changes so it looks like it's a three-dimensional scene.
Right.
And so effectively what they're doing here is they're painting.
That was the stuff you took your girls to.
Yeah. Can't remember what it's called.
Okay.
But using that same concept, but really kind of taking it to a single image, very artistic level.
Yeah.
But super clever.
Oh, yeah, very good. Some great stuff there.
Yeah. And not necessarily overly hard.
No. It really just requires a little bit of thinking out of the box.
And maybe you draw up an image that you want to do, and then you use a projector from the olden days.
Yep.
And project it on the wall, just draw it out or whatever.
Yeah.
I just think it's just nice to have actual talent.
Yep.
I mean, we hate that stuff, but it's nice to look at it from time to time.
Yeah.
Oh, then the next one I put, then the AI killed the photo comp.
Okay. Why?
So, I don't even know how to say their name.
Huawei.
That's them. Hoo-ha.
Huawei.
Hoo-ha.
Yep.
That's it. Hoo-ha have launched a photo contest, and it's co-judged by the phone.
Oh, wow.
Phone's artificial intelligence is going to judge if the photo's any good or not.
Right.
Yeah. So, but this is the thing.
It's going to read the metadata of every image submitted, and anything that wasn't taken on a Huawei phone, it's going to discount.
Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago we had these, I think we've done a couple of times, there's been different websites where you can submit a photo to, and it's intelligence, the AI judges your photograph.
Yes.
Yeah, with 79, 89. So this is effectively what they're doing. So they're using algorithms to determine what art is.
Yeah,
what's
right.
Good art, what's not good art.
Wow.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yep.
You know? And it's like, what's the point? If it doesn't look like an Instagram photo, it's no good. Which fortunately, as we all know, I took one of those a couple of weeks ago, so I'm in with a chance.
Right.
But yeah, that's just a kind of an interesting get, also at the same time, scary.
Yep.
A scary next step in the evolution of art and what is and isn't art.
Yeah.
And then the next one I got there was this guy's been photographing lightning storms inside volcanic eruptions.
Wow.
It's like,
nice.
Great. Some remarkable stuff. I never knew there were that electrically charged, the old volcanic eruption.
Mm.
I was aware there was that much electroactivity going on inside them. But they are, some of them are seriously cool.
Wow. I certainly never saw anything like that in Vanuatu when I was standing on the edge of an active volcano, but I don't think it was of the size and magnitude of these
active or erupting. These are erupting, not just active. So
right.
I think that might have, I'm assuming that has a...
Okay, so the volcano that I was standing on the edge of in Vanuatu was called Mount Yasa, and it is active and it erupts around about every 10 to 15 minutes. And it has been doing this for 800 years.
A magma fart, isn't it?
Quite possibly. But it does throw out a fair bit of lava, and you do have to be careful when you're on the edge of it to, watch where the lava's going so you don't get hit. So it's pretty full on. So, but like I said, not on the size and scale of what's in these images here. These are much bigger. So
yeah.
That's
pretty cool stuff.
Very cool.
Have a look at his other work. He's got other work on there listed.
But yeah, right.
Not too much of a look at.
Mm-hmm.
And Photoshop.
Yeah.
Are about to announce later this year that they're bringing full version of Photoshop to iPads.
Right.
That's a huge thing.
Is it?
Well, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Look, I'm sure it, you know,
the whole reason I bought my Microsoft Surface was the fact that I wanted to have Photoshop, a full version of Photoshop, whilst traveling.
Right. Fair enough.
And if all of a sudden I don't need to have a full version of Photoshop whilst traveling, I can use my Narbox and an iPad.
Yep.
Well, an iPad's a lot more, it can do a lot more, a lot better.
Right.
If I want to play games, I just want to do mail. It's a more ubiquitous device.
Yep.
Than yet another tablet/laptop.
Right.
So to me, I find that good.
Okay.
It's not something you'd use at the home, but once again, for travel.
It's just that,
imagine if you were traveling. Go on.
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not an iPad user, but can you attach a keyboard and a mouse to the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you can. Okay. Because to me, that's one of the biggest drawbacks. Like if you had to use a stylus to use a full version of Photoshop on an iPad, that would be painful.
Why?
Why? Just navigating menus.
Why do all these people use Wacom tablets?
Yeah, but you only mostly use that for the brush strokes. It's not for navigating the menus.
Yes, they are. Of course they do.
Okay. All right.
Because they tap on the side like a... They press down on that. Boom.
Yeah, well, your Wacom tablets have dedicated buttons on one side of the tablet. So, yeah, and you can assign shortcuts to various commands, you know, I don't know. Oh, look, maybe.
Excellent argument. No, you've won me over with your argument. I'm completely convinced they're mad for doing it. No, and once again, I would never say you're going to be doing high-end editing or would you be editing a wedding necessarily. But if you're on holidays, you're traveling and you want to edit a couple of photos from the day and upload them, it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, for sure.
But you don't want to just do a quick basic edit. You want to do, you might want to blend a couple of shots for
HDR or panorama
but that ability I can be would be pretty cool.
Yeah, nice.
Well, not very not nice in your book, but and the last thing I got, I did find this little thing here which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah,
as a bit of an astro buff myself,
right?
By astro I mean astronomy, not astrology. I don't into that stuff.
Yeah.
Someone's coming out later this year. It's going to be out available. A smart telescope, a portable smart telescope. Called Vionis.
Right.
Stellene. And basically what it is, you're traveling out somewhere, you take this little foldable tripod, telescope, you plonk it down, you open up the app on your phone, it automatically navigates to where it is on the planet, so it knows where it is.
Right.
Tells you what's good to see in the sky that night. You tell it to go to that thing. Oh, I'd like to take a photo of that. It shows you on your phone. You get to watch it on your phone. Oh, I like that. Let's take a photo of that. It takes the photo. The photo's now on your phone. You'd upload social media straight away. So it's not even any of this uncomfortable leaning down and having to look through the eyepiece anymore.
Yeah, right.
Just stare at your phone.
Yeah, right. Interesting.
I think it's pretty cool. I would like to try it out. I mean, they are $2,800 US.
Ooh, so okay.
Yeah, somewhat
pricey.
Out of my price point. But once again, we're talking about where technology is headed.
Yeah.
And like your Celestron, which is probably the world's biggest telescope manufacturer these days.
Right.
Or Mead. They've got telescopes now that can be navigated using your phone.
Yeah.
You know? In fact, you point your phone at the object in the sky and the telescope navigates to that object. It's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, right.
So the whole world of smart technology into telescopes is
crazy.
It's quite remarkable what it can do.
You've just reminded me of a video I was only watching today on YouTube, and it sort of piqued my interest because my son Max told me about it. And remember a couple of years ago, actually a year and a half ago, there was the story of the guys who got the photograph of the ISS as it passed over the sun during the eclipse.
Right.
Well, this was the video of that whole thing happening.
And really?
Yeah, and it was we've mentioned the YouTube channel before. It's called Smarter Every Day. And the guy who produces the videos on that channel, Destin, is a real geek. And he covers all different types of topics, but this particular one was all about how him and a couple of photographer mates, they worked out that, you know, they knew the eclipse was coming. They, you know, using a couple of apps, worked out that there was this one spot in the middle of Wyoming where the two trajectories were going to cross over, so that the passing of the ISS in front of the eclipse would be viewable from this one little bit of land in Wyoming. And so they went there, found out who owned the place, and as it turned out, the guy that owned the place, or the wife of the guy who owned the place, had been the midwife who delivered one of these photographers when he was a newborn. And so they got permission to set up on this guy's land, and they had it all set up, and it was just phenomenal, like how quickly the transition happened. Like from the time the ISS appeared on one side of the sun to the time it was out on the other side of the sun was less than 1 second. And they, you know, they shot like, you know, 20 odd frames in that time. And, it's just a great video. So anyone who remembers that story that, you know, we mentioned on this podcast, you know, 12 months ago, I will find the link to the video on YouTube and I'll put it in the show notes. So, cause it was great. Yeah. All right, mate. That's another one.
That's
done.
It. Short and semi-sweet.
That's it. We're getting shorter every week.
Well, it happens to get older.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
True.
So what's on for the rest of your week?
I might get a kid back to school tomorrow, since it's Friday. Yep. I'll get for one day of school.
Yep.
And that means naps.
Nice. Basically. Nice.
Yeah. And my wife's away, so I've got to stay home. I can't work because she's away. And
yeah, right.
That's it. So just looking after the damn kids.
Right.
For the housework.
Yep.
Planning some stuff for America later in the year and stuff like that. Nothing overly exciting.
Fair enough. All right, mate, will you enjoy?
I will. I will enjoy napping.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.